We are going. So okay, anytime you are ready, dear.
You know, it's often that either you or myself will apologize to our listeners. Because, as you always say, life happens. Or, you know, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Some of my listeners know, and some of your listeners might not know, and our combined listeners don't have enough information. Just over a week ago, I lost my son. Not quite 30, he had been married for 2 days to the woman of his dreams, a woman who, while we were there, there was a fellow we know, who, a friend of ours, who's absolutely positively swishy, and said, you know, for a woman like that, I'd turn straight. The coroner's report is not quite ready. We do not suspect foul play or anything untoward that anybody wants to start second-guessing and besmirching his memory. Mm-hmm. I dedicate the new opening, or the new every-once-in-a-while opening, because you know I change it up, a political QRM, to Andre. Join in with me if you know the words. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Buckle up, boys and girls, we're rocking tonight.
Well, you got me going on that one. Really did, Lou. I know that must have been very, very difficult for you and Debbie. Words don't can't express. They really can't.
They can't. I get that. From people who understand that, I get that. From people who don't understand it, I tell them, because there are none. You know, just yeah. Let it go. Just let it go. Thoughts, prayers, as a matter of fact,
yes.
That's about it. That's all
that's
we can
about
do about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but we are back. It has been a while.
Yep.
And I'm Anne Marie, and that is Lou.
Yep.
A lot has happened, and we
and I
are
do have
gone.
Pants on.
And oh, thank goodness, please. And we're here back. We're back again. Sorry. Again, a lot has happened. We are not going to go over all the stuff that happened last week or whatever. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you already know that. We're going to deal with what is happening right now, what has happened within the past few days. And one of the first things I really would like to talk about today, Lou, is the new guidelines by Department of Homeland Security for deporting illegal immigrants. You know, John Kelly has signed all these sweeping new guidelines and how to deal with them. And one of the ones that that I really like is the fact that they're going to hire thousands of additional enforcement agents. That would be good.
Yeah, and I'm too old.
Huh?
And I'm too old.
You're too old. Well, so am I. They're going to expand the pool of immigrants who are prioritized for removal. And as far as deportation hearings, if these people thought that they were going to be able to drag it out, it is going
fast
to
track.
Be sped up, fast track. And also they're going to ask local law enforcement to help make arrests. Now that I think is fantastic, because there's been, in the past, local law enforcements have made arrests. And what did ICE do under the Obama administration? No, we don't want them. Set them free, you know. So now they can work hand in hand.
I think that ICE did not say that. I know they said it, but I mean, I don't believe they said that due to some, you know, ennui about the issue.
No, they were going under Obama's.
Not only that, but they were also going under the fact that because they didn't have the additional thousands.
That's right.
Of legs on the ground. I think they were stressed far too thin. And of course, don't forget the sanctuary cities.
Oh, yes.
So, and I think there are probably thousands upon thousands of, as you said, local police officers that are you know, whatever they do, crossing themselves or whatever. I mean, they're just happy as clams to be able to get rid of the criminal element that they've been fighting. And City Hall has been hiding.
That's true. And a lot of them are starting to do it. Now the churches, there's churches, especially in the Boston area, that are starting to get into it. And they say that they are going to be sanctuary churches for these people.
Well,
it's like,
the sanctuary, yeah, the sanctuary of churches is something that goes back to,
exactly. But you know what? When you have these people in this country who are killing, robbing, bringing drugs in, how can that church in good conscience give that type of person sanctuary?
Oh, because of liberation theology. It's an entirely different
tack okay.
that the church took, you know, years and years ago.
Exactly.
Or the Holy Mother Church, anyway. I don't know about the rest.
Oh, the Holy Mother Church, all of them. The Episcopal Church, Holy Mother Church. You have the Presbyterians now that are right on board. The mainstream Presbyterian Church. They're all there. The Methodist Church.
I'm having a hard time. Because I did read some. I did not finish. I apologize. I did not finish. The new executive order is huge.
It is.
I did not finish reading it all. Bless you. I know that there are a lot of people wringing their hands and gnashing their teeth over a lot of this, and I have not finished reading it. I will by the time we get together next. Let's start at a very... Bless you. At a very basic principle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You were telling me recently about, you know, taking snow off the roof, and earlier in the year you were talking about picking up, you know, the sticks and the leaves and all that other stuff. So you go out your back door.
Uh-huh.
Someone comes in your front door and sits down on the couch, turns the TV on, and just, you know, sits there. And you come back in and that person's there. You call the cops, and they say, oh, no, we can't take him out. He hasn't done anything wrong. Okay. You know, but how do you justify it? This person that I do not know, I did not give permission, just walked in, sat down on my couch, and started watching my television. Well, he didn't do anything wrong. You know, you got to be joking. You can't say that. Well, of course not. Of course not. You call the cops, they come, they take the guy, cuff him, stuff him, and away he goes.
Exactly.
Okay? Because it's what did he do? He illegally entered your home. It was called illegal entry.
That's true. And yes, right? I'm glad unlawful you made entry. It as simple as possible. Because there are people out there that don't get it.
They don't get it. That is, hey, as far as I'm concerned, all these people that protest about this stuff should each be given one refugee or one illegality to take home.
Yes.
And if you've got a family of five, that means you get five.
That's true. And I agree. I agree because you have all these people that are out there protesting or they're at work and they're going, oh, these poor people, oh, they have to be helped. Okay, how many did you take into your house? How many are you responsible for?
Liberals.
I'm not saying, though, just to give them a roof over their head. I'm saying feed them, clothe them, make sure they're educated, doctor bills, everything. Yeah. You do that. You want them here so bad, then you pick
it
up.
That's what we call, people say, well, America's the most charitable country in the world. And well, yeah, okay, then be charitable. Bring them into your home and cover them.
Because when I am looking at and all the money that we spend on these slugs, and I'm sorry, they're slugs, in the prisons, with welfare, with the stupidest things, like having a driver's tests in Spanish, you know? I mean, that costs us money also. I mean, you may say that's a stupid, ridiculous thing, but it costs the American taxpayer dollars.
Yes,
it
does.
Right? Let's just start from there.
To print the driver's manual in that language, to hire bilingual people to do the examination.
Exactly.
It all costs money.
So the thing is also is that you're finding a lot of these illegal immigrants that have come here and then that they have dropped kids or they have children, And the kids may be okay, but the parents are committing crimes and everything. And then they say, well, you're separating me from my kids.
Let me back up. Let me back you up on that.
Sure, back up.
Only because, and this is important, first and foremost, if they're here illegally, liberals changed from they stopped calling themselves liberals and started calling themselves progressives.
Yeah.
Because liberal got to be such a bad taste in people's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did the same thing with the illegales. They stopped calling them illegals and started calling them undocumented.
Yeah, undocumented immigrants.
So does that make a heroin dealer an undocumented pharmacist?
Good point.
You know, look, here's the gig. All of this stuff, and you go back to driver's licenses, you know they have to do them verbally because some of those people are illiterate in both languages.
That's right.
So, you know, that's bad enough. But you take these people, and you get these people that I saw on one of the images flying by one of the news streams, I don't remember, it was a network feed thing. And they're these guys with these tattoos on their faces, their ears, their noses, their chest, and they standing there, and when they saw the camera, they started making weird arrangements of fingers.
Yeah, the gang signs.
You know, gang slash, you know, kind of a thing. And you know something? I got news for you. And you could call me discompassionate. All right? But as far as I'm concerned, take him to the other side of the border, drop him off. I don't care how many kids he's got.
Yeah,
I don't care what wives and baby mamas he's got. I don't care about any of that. Well, you're pulling apart a family. I don't care.
Don't care, because you know
because
what?
As the president says, it's a bad hombre, and when we get a bad hombre, we take him and we put him somewhere other than amongst us.
You know, the thing is, too, is that those people coming over the border are not America's responsibility. These people coming over the border from Mexico or wherever, Venezuela, I don't care where, they are their home country's responsibility. The governments of those countries are responsible for these people. So that's why we want to send them back, so you can take responsibility for your own countrymen.
And no, Speaker Pelosi, or not Speaker,
Who?
Nancy Pelosi, Minority Leader.
Minority Leader, okay.
The people in other countries do not have a constitutional right to come to the United States of America.
No, they don't.
Contrary to what you think. You know something?
I mean, it's the stupidity of these people is amazing.
Yeah, we talked about what could possibly be the destruction of the Republican Party a year and a half ago.
We were wrong.
The Democrat Party. Well, no, there's still problems there.
There's
still problems under our roof.
I mean,
retaking Pelosi into that thing, that was the death knell. The Democrat Party, as they knew it, is gone.
Oh, come on. I mean, they were at a press conference. She was at a press conference in which she stood up and adamantly insisted that she couldn't work with President Bush.
Mm-hmm. And Maxine Waters said the same
lady.
Thing.
Well, Maxine Waters also said that Putin invaded Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, this is how low the bar is in the DNC, okay? Seriously, the Dems, their intelligence level is not too high.
It is below normal.
It really is.
It must be, because I'm sorry, a single basic premise of law.
Illegal entry.
If somebody illegally
entered one of their homes, what would they do? Would they sit there and say, oh yeah, no, there's a refrigerator right there. I got a bedroom upstairs for you. Are you kidding? They'd be on the phone. They would say, get these people out of my house. How dare you? You know darn well that would happen.
Of course it would. You know, it's like I always said about people, you know, when it comes to cops and guns.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't like cops? Fine. You don't have to like cops. You don't like guns? Fine. You don't have to like guns. But if somebody breaks into your home in the middle of the night, you're going to call the cops and you're going to pray they bring a gun.
That's right.
Period. So the old expression years ago, which doesn't apply anymore, it said things are so helter-skelter anymore. And yes, I did use that word.
Mm-hmm.
Things are so screwed up.
Right.
That the single basic premise on which to build your case is ignored. And therein lies the rub. Because now we get into, you want to tear families apart. I don't want to tear families apart. You know, I don't want to, I don't necessarily want to just mass deport. Now that came up, Sean Spicer handled that very nicely yesterday, by the way. I don't want to mass deport the quote-unquote dreamers, the DACA.
Well, he said that's, you know, he said we're not going to be doing that right now.
He handled, he always acquits right himself very well. Now. He's one of the best PS I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, he actually is intelligent. And yeah, I think that's really messing
I don't think
up.
We've seen one. I don't think we've seen one this good since Dana, to be honest with you, Perino. And she, well, she was better than
sure, of course. Well,
and Joshua,
Oh gosh, yeah. No, but the thing is that Sean Spicer did mention that, and they said, well, what about this? Because I was listening to a few talk shows yesterday, and people going, well, what about the Dreamers? What about this? There's nothing. And Sean Spicer said, listen, one thing at a time. We have to do this in order. We have to deal with the bad ones that are here first.
Really,
and we do. The ones that are committing the crimes, that are putting our citizens in danger, those are the ones that have
rapists,
to be dealt with.
Muggers, murderers,
exactly.
Drug dealers.
Deal with that first. And then deal with those that are coming here illegally. You know, the ones that, I mean, that's, they're not the violent criminals, but by virtue of the fact that they walked over the border, they are a criminal.
And
then
know,
deal
we,
with
we
that. I don't
we
care
keep,
about these people, Lou.
Right.
I really don't.
I really don't. You know, but here's the other thing. We keep boiling it down, and it's not our fault. Well, it is our fault, because we should hold ourselves to that better standard. We keep ignoring the overstayed student visas.
That's right.
We keep ignoring the overstayed H1 and H2B visas.
Mm-hmm.
We keep ignoring the couple out in Purdue, the fiancé or engaged visa, which, you know, they come here and they never do get married or something.
That's
and the
right.
person's out wandering around, you know, they separate and they go their separate ways and stuff. And the person is still here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we keep ignoring the people who go to another country, you know, and get married.
Yep.
Or bring their person here, and they do get married, or they come here because they have the promise of an engagement visa. They get married, they get their cards, they get their papers, their citizens, and off they go. And then that person marries someone else.
I know.
Get a divorce, and then they marry someone else. You know, this marriage for hire thing going on. And believe me, I have seen this firsthand. It does occur, and it does occur a lot.
Yep.
I dated for a very brief time a girl who said we had to call it off because another, you know, and of all things, the guy's name was Omar. So,
ooh.
You know, granted, this was back in the 80s, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the girl had already been married twice. I didn't make any, you know, I mean, people get married and they get divorced. It happens.
Right,
you know, until
I
realized what was going on.
What was going on, yeah, exactly.
And I called up a buddy of mine in immigration and took care of that.
Good.
I'm just the kind of guy I am. But we keep not cognizancing. Is that a word?
I don't know.
Well, it is now.
Well, it is now, yeah.
No, because you knew what I meant. You know,
yes.
So we keep forgetting about this. We keep forgetting about, you know, the influx from the northern border. We keep, you know, you know, although I did see a report on it, so we're not ignoring it as badly as we used to.
Well, you do know, I don't know if you've seen this report, that a lot of the illegales and the quote-unquote refugees are now making their way up to Canada.
They come in from the north. Yes, I do.
Isn't that nice?
And of course,
leave! I don't care. I don't care.
You know, let's just use for because I don't know it numerically. Use as an example of 100,000 100, you know, officers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 90 of them are on the southern border. There's only 10 for the northern border, which is twice the length of the southern border.
That's right. No, they want to leave the United States and go up into Canada? Be my guest. Be my guest. Let Canada take them. And they said that the Canadian Border Patrol has said yes. There has been a large influx.
A lot. Yep. And, well, you know what, though?
I don't care.
They haven't had a large influx of Hollywood movie people.
No, they haven't now, have they? Why not?
Gee, neither has Australia.
No, or Jupiter.
Or Jupiter.
Yeah,
or,
there you go, Jupiter.
Yeah,
I think that little by little, this will start working out. Now, you have these people out there now that are still doing the protests. My question is, do these people have lives? Or are they professional protesters? Is this
Well, some of them
are?
Might.
A great number of them, but then there were the ones that get caught up in something. I mean, and again, these people are so stupid. I see these people on Fox News. They're being interviewed by either Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity.
Which is a death knell for them, you know.
Well, no, but I mean, they're being interviewed and they're insisting that Trump is just like Hitler.
Godwin's law. You know,
do these people know what Hitler really stand for?
No, they don't.
They don't.
Well, let's say, you know, look at it right there. One thing glaring right in our face right now.
Yeah.
The day without immigrants.
Oh, you know. At first, I misunderstood that. Seriously. I said, wait, day without immigrants? What? Are we putting a hold on anybody that can come into the country for 24 hours?
For that, wouldn't you?
Hey,
wouldn't you?
That would be great. And then I realized what it was, and I'm like, yeah, uh-huh, go ahead, fine. You know, if you close your store or your restaurant because you have a bunch of illegals working there, excuse me. Why are you doing that? That's against the law, number one, to employ illegals.
Employ illegal aliens, right.
Number two, you're losing clientele when you do something like this.
Well,
you're in business.
That was the point.
You're not in a social...
I don't believe it had anything to do with the guy who owns the restaurant. I don't think it had anything to do with the guy who owns, you know, the grocery store or the Quickie Mart or mm-hmm. whatever. I think it had to do with the people who work there. And the idea was to cripple the economy for 24 hours.
It didn't work now, did it?
Well, I saw a great headline from one of the reports, and I don't remember if it was Breitbart, I don't remember if it was Newsmax, I don't remember if it was CNN or whatever it was, but whoever it was, because I get them all.
Mm-hmm.
Day without immigrants turns into life without jobs.
You betcha. Yep, dozens of people were fired.
Hundreds of them said, mm-hmm. you know, we have a no-call, no-show policy. You're out. And right now, you know what they just did? They created jobs.
Mm-hmm. They did. Well, you know what? These people, these illegals that have these jobs, they want to be treated like American citizens. Well, honey, you just got it right there. If you mm-hmm. don't show up for work in America, guess what? You're going to be fired.
Yep.
So welcome to America. There you go.
Yeah. You get your first taste of what it's like
there
to be an American.
An American worker, yes.
Yes.
So
and I still get. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm trying to remember who said it during the campaign. If all the illegals walked off the job, who would pick their lettuce? Gee, I don't know. You mean all those millions of people you say are disproportionately impacted in the prison system can't go out and chop lettuce out of the ground?
That's right. That is right.
Or pull carrots, or melons, mm-hmm. or cucumbers, or radishes, or Brussels sprouts, which, I'm sorry, don't mess with my Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I love Brussels sprouts. I do.
You know, but,
seriously. You know, no, you're right.
Oh, we can't.
You're right.
I mean, look, there are still spots, you know, the chain gangs still exist.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not having a problem with that.
Neither do I.
You know, I don't care if
they
they're breaking rocks
well.
Or if they're picking radishes.
Yeah, you know, they might as well be of some use to society.
They're
taking so much from it.
This other jadrul gets up in one of the press conferences I've seen in the last few days. Gets up and says, oh, well, since you're going to make this push to arrest these people for the major offenses, and then, of course, it's going to trickle down to the minor offenses and stuff like that. Well, what are you going to do with them? Where are you going to put them? You know, if they come. And another thing that's the recidivism of reentry after having been deported, which the rate of that is scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do with them? You know, we're going to build more prisons. You can fit a lot of tents in the desert. Ask Joe Arpaio.
Yeah, who unfortunately lost his bid.
Yeah, but you know something?
The sheriff there says he will not cooperate with ICE.
Perhaps. Until Maricopa County turns around and says...
I don't know why they did that. I don't know why the voters did that, unless they had a great deal of illegal votes.
Well, according to my brother, there's no way. He woke up in the morning and Sheriff Joe was out, and he has no idea how. He has no clue how. because he was so widely respected, and in certain precincts loved his men. You know, when you needed a county sheriff or something, his men and women were nonpareil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kept them trained and equipped, and he, you know, kept his budget down. He came in under budget every year for X number of years. He was so well liked, loved, and respected and honored in that part of town. My brother woke up the next morning and says, "I have no idea." He said, "I voted for him." You know, he said, "But I voted for him before." You know, he says, "I have no idea how it happened."
Yeah.
So there must have been, I don't know, they must have emptied every cemetery in Maricopa County to get the votes that they needed or something.
Probably.
Right?
Probably. You know? I would be a bit surprised.
Yeah.
So here we go. We have a start as to getting all these illegal immigrants out of this country who feed on us, who hurt us, who take jobs away from Americans, who get more benefits than some of our veterans do.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So you know what? We can cover that in our B block.
Right.
Because that's coming up. But yet, I think that I get this feeling that I'm a caterpillar. And mind you, I don't like tomato hornworm caterpillars eating my tomatoes.
Oh, gosh, those things. I hate those things, Scott. Ugh.
Yeah, well, you know what's really great? Throw them to your chickens. It's wonderful.
I don't have chickens.
They fight each other for them.
Really? I don't have chickens. I just throw them out in the woods.
You know what I think? I think our people are like a caterpillar, and whether it's that one or any other one. And did you ever pick one off the vine and it has those little white things all over it?
I can't recall, no.
Little fuzzy white things all over it. Well, what that is there's a parasitic wasp that finds tomato hornworms, and that's what it does.
Oh.
It finds tomato hornworms. And so when I find one with those little things on it, I tend to not throw it to the chickens. I tend to throw it off the side somewhere and let it crawl around until they hatch and start sucking the guts out of it.
That
way we have more parasitic wasps. So the problem is that's how the illegalis are to us. They're parasitic wasps, and they're laying their eggs on, in other words, anchor babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're sucking the life out of us to the point of our death to make more and more of them. And the La Raza movement and the Reconquista movement and all those other ones are just sitting there going, "Hey, ole, ole, ole," you know. Until November 8th last year, we were sitting on the eve of our own destruction.
That's right. We were. Of course, now you see the liberals out there and saying, "We are now sitting on the eve of our own destruction." But no, in reality, we are not.
Well, in reality, we are sitting on the eve of their destruction.
Their destruction. That's fine. You know, I finally figured out why all these liberals are out there screaming about Trump and, "Oh my God, he's a horrible man." Because all those marginal groups that are out there, okay?
Oh, I had that for C block, but okay.
Oh, okay. No. Nope, you're right. Let's just continue on this. No, you're right. Let's just continue on this. But
my pink pencil here.
What?
Now I lost my famous pink pencil.
Oh, okay. One of the things about the Border Patrol is that in the heaviest area of the border, in the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, they said that the apprehensions have fallen by about 1,000. Between the first 2 weeks of January and first 2 weeks of February, which is good.
That's good.
Because these people are less likely to want to come across because now there's different rules. I would like to see
the release program is definitely done.
It's done. All of it. They also said that all the new directives that they're putting out, they are superseding all those issued under previous administrations.
And the catch and release, instead of saying, "Okay, here's your summons, show up in ICE court, you know, or INS court in March, you know," and they never show. No, they're being caught and released, yes, but they're being released on the buses to go back into Tijuana or Jalisco or you know, wherever, Ciudad Juarez, wherever they send them, and then they're being released.
Yes.
Being told, "No, you don't have to come to immigration court because you're not coming back."
You're not coming back, yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't either.
I don't see the problem. And then somebody brought up the fact that the wall is never going to happen.
Oh, no, it will happen.
And it's, you know, because somebody said, well, you know, how's he going to handle the eminent domain thing? And first and foremost, he already said, in no uncertain terms in the campaign, I will use eminent domain to build my wall.
Yeah.
Right. And somebody said, well, there's 10, in Texas, there are 10 ranchers that have already said they don't want to comply. And it's a 1,900 miles the border?
I forget. I'll be honest.
You know, those 10 ranches only represent about 300 miles.
Mm-hmm. So what are they going to do then?
What are they going to do? They're going to file. They're going to fight it in court. We don't eminent domain. You know something? You're going to fight it in court, and you may get a stay, but eventually...
But the thing is, these are the same ranchers that have dead animals, right? I mean, how many ranchers have you heard say, my cattle are being killed...
My sheep are being killed.
My property is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
They walk right past my house with my family in it. Mm-hmm. The families have been accosted. Some of them have been, you know, raped, robbed,
yep,
beaten.
Lateral movement.
And
once you come forward into Texas,
uh-huh,
you make lateral moves. You go get a sheep. You go get a cow. You go get a little... and then you go back to the ranches that are offering you sanctuary, and they know where those borders are.
Mm-hmm.
The coyotes know exactly where to take them, exactly
so
where
that
to
means,
send them.
Okay, so these people that don't want to, you know, take part in this, so then that's where you put a, you know, more agents, so they can't get through.
Yeah, because you can't bar the federal agent, you know.
No, you can't.
And as far as I remember, because this actually came up recently in a conversation about a trout stream.
Mm-hmm.
There is, at one point or another, there is actually goes back to common law, and it's called riparian land.
Mm-hmm.
You can own up to a certain point in a natural, free-flowing, a navigable waterway, mm-hmm, that empties to the sea. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Rio Grande does just
right.
that. You know, especially in the tidal portions. You can own up to a certain space, but you can't own the river itself. You can't own halfway across the river. You can't own anything. And there has to be easement for, you know, navigable waterway. The
right.
Rio Grande is indeed right. a navigable waterway, and it is indeed tidal because it does indeed flow to the sea.
Right.
So when it comes right down to it, you just take however far it is,
yeah,
that, you know, that you can't own, you know, from these 10 people, and mm-hmm, I'm going to get hit for this. Put in mines. You know, it's that simple. You know,
make sure there's barbed wire. Make sure there's barbed wire. And
barbed wire mines, you know, and, you know, seismic detectors and cameras.
Well, you do know that between the border of South Korea and North Korea, there are minefields.
The DMZ, yeah.
The DMZ, right there. Not only is there barbed wire, there's minefields. I mean, and how many people do you see really coming across those things? You don't. You know,
well,
they try.
You might see pieces of them going by.
That's what I'm saying, pieces. I mean, you know, somehow they have to go into China if they want to get out of there or something.
Mm-hmm.
But across that border right there, mm-mm, mm-mm. And, yeah, you're right. Mines would be, you know.
I'm not saying claymores and start killing people. I'm saying something that, you know, flashbang mines.
Warnings, you know. I mean,
not only,
you know,
warning, but also in case they're on, you know, special shoes or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hush puppies or something, you know, a mine that'll go off, like I said, a flashbang,
mm-hmm,
and every seismic detector within a mile of there.
That's right. I agree. So this is where it stands so far, folks. Let's see how it works out. Let's see if some of these churches will come to their senses and realize that this policy.
Oh, you can forget about that in our lifetime. You can forget about that.
Please, let's not even go.
No, you can forget about that in our lifetime because it's just, again, unless and until, and I think the only time we're going to see this, and people who are listening that are going to recognize what I'm saying, you will not see that change until we have Pope Peter II.
don't even get me started on the Pope. Do you really want to talk about the Pope?
No, but I'm saying when we see Pope Peter II.
Yeah, I know, right.
Enrobed, then
well,
those things
by that time, it's going to be all over.
Right, that's my point. You know,
I know.
That's not going to change.
I was just making...
any time in our life.
Well, no, there are some churches, yes. But as far as the Holy Mother Church right now, they have somebody in there that is not Catholic. He's not Catholic.
Absolutely. But, I mean, but consider, as I said, this goes back to pre-medieval days. I could roll my wheelchair into the Catholic church down the street.
Yeah,
could you? And get a hold of the priest, the nun, the brother, the monk, whatever, the friar, and say to whichever vowed religious person I find, not just the girl, you know, setting up the flowers, mm-hmm. and say, I'm asking for sanctuary.
Well, they'll say, what'd you do?
No, they don't ask. I'm asking for sanctuary. Okay, my son, come with me. And they take care of it, and that's all there is to it. And then when the sheriff comes and knocks on the door, well, no, he's asked for sanctuary. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know, this is established. It's been argued. There's precedent law. The church giving sanctuary, but now, mind you, they can't do it in the local school gym unless it's consecrated.
Right. But what if they take away the tax-exempt status?
I'm not in favor of that.
Maybe they'll change their mind?
No, I'm not in favor of that.
Why?
Because aside from being borderline certifiable on this issue, mm-hmm. the amount of works that the churches, all of them, do besides this, mm-hmm. shouldn't be crippled, because this is where we made our mark as a nation. We have the freedom of religion, we have the freedom from religion, but when it comes right down to it, before FDR, when before welfare, before the war on poverty, before the Great Society, before any of these things, when somebody was on the balls of their butt, where did they go?
I know, the church. I know that. But you know what? How long do you allow them to flaunt the law? Seriously. Especially if these people have killed, they've stolen. Come on. Yeah, there's got to be a limit. There has to be a limit.
Yeah, but you know something? It's just like Fatal Attraction. You've got to sleep sometime. You know? You know, you've got to sleep sometime. One of these times, that guy's got to come out that door, and once he does, that's that.
Okay.
You know, they can't just live in a bedroom in the rectory forever without ever coming out into the daylight and the sunshine. I mean, if nothing else, they'll die of vitamin D deficiency.
They're in the courtyard, they still can't enter.
No, but if they come out on the street, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
then
we'll
you
see.
Grab them. You know, it's that simple. You know. But anyway, so again, I don't subscribe to the tax exempt issue the way people would have expected me to.
Well, I think you and I disagree about that then, because
being as deeply, you know, spiritual as I am, I understand the depth, the unplumbable, the unfathomable depth to which that argument actually goes.
You know what, though? I really think that the church, any church that takes in these people, things are different than they were a long time ago in this country. You have people in this country that are just here to take. And that's why they want to go into those churches. Excuse me. They want to be able to continue to take without consequences, without having any responsibility. Mm-hmm. Why should we allow the churches to get involved in that?
Because we're not talking about, when you add it up and divide by, we're really not talking, when it comes to the actual sanctuary of a church, the actual sanctuary of sacred ground, right, we're really not talking about the vast numbers. Right? We could deal with, there's plenty of vast numbers of, as the president calls them, either bad dudes or bad hombres, bad people in general. You know, mm-hmm. There's plenty of them out there to keep the new 1,000 agents quite busy, thank you very much. And when the time comes, then we can start worrying about the little nuances of tax exemption. We've got so many cities right now that we could be ripping their funding away from them, you know, and we got work to do. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you sweep the majority of, you know, you go around, you sweep the floor, then you go around the corners and you sweep it up. You know, let's mm-hmm. get the floor swept first.
All right. Yeah. Okay. One thing at a time. I guess you're right.
Exactly.
You're right on that point. I don't know. I don't know.
It leaves a bad taste. And
it does.
And here's the part that's really funny.
What?
you know, when it comes to exactly that issue.
Yes.
All the time, you ask any bunch of progressives about defund or 501c3 in the churches, and they're all for it. Oh, religion, religion. Until it comes to this issue.
Really?
Yeah, because they don't want anything to happen to their precious voting block. I mean, their precious, you know, so it's like...
No, God's children, right? God's children. Then they'll start using the words God's children.
Well, that's probably the only time.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, oh, defund the churches, take their tax exemption away, this, that, and the other thing, because they this, they that, they the other thing. And then it comes, well, what about the fact that they're sanctuary for all these illegalities? And it's like, well, no, you got to let them have their tax exemption.
There you go.
To feed them.
There you go.
See, it's that psychotic dichotomy. Is what I'm calling it. I'm not calling it. There's the other word. I think is a cognitive dissonance. You know, but I'm calling it psychotic dichotomy because it's it goes that deep.
Yes.
You know, it goes deep. It goes deep enough that it not only calls for medication but other medical procedures,
like a lobotomy.
Yeah, or you know, ECT or something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Something, you know? Anything. You know, I think what it's called is craniorectotomy.
Really?
They surgically remove their heads from their asses? You know. Okay, enough rape.
All right, okay. I think we've exhausted this topic for the time being, don't you?
Well, I think we're going to have a natural segue here. In the meantime, a word from the sponsors that we don't yet have, but we'd like to, so contact us if you think we're doing a good job. We'll be right back. And we're back, boys and girls. I hope you enjoyed our first A block. You might have noticed that we actually used those real-life professional terms like A block.
We're trying to up our game here, folks.
Yeah, up in our game. That's right. And I've actually heard from some people, well, you know, Lou, you could do this. And I said, well, I'll talk to Amory about it. Anyway.
There we go.
But carrying away from our A block into our B block, you started to mention before, and I want to get on this because this is we're calling them special interest groups. That's really something that goes to, you know, lobbyists. What I'm talking about isn't really a special interest group. It's the identity politics of the left today.
Yes.
It's the quote unquote big tent that should have been all inclusive, and you are included in the big tent, but you got to sit at your own table.
That's right. And you have to have that designation. And it has to be on your table. And you have to wear a badge that has that designation on it. There should be absolutely no question in anybody's mind that you belong to a certain group.
Yep. No question at all.
Yeah. Now, because the liberals want it that way.
Yep. You can belong to more than one group, but you have to belong to at least one.
Yes.
I don't see that. We used to have the yellow dogs and the blue dogs. And then we had the log cabins. And, you know, okay, so there is room for people to wear. Mm-hmm. A button that says, you know, who or what they are. But we don't have different tables. You could be wearing a log cabin Republican badge and sit down with, Southern Reaganites.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to take away your fork and say you can't eat here. You know, what was that?
Right.
Signs everywhere, signs. Well, you know, that song essentially was written against the establishment, the status quo,
That's right.
The right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you listen to the words, it's written against the right. The problem is now, if I were to write that song today, which I can't or I'd get sued, but use the same words, it would really apply to the left.
Yep.
Because if you don't have your sign, you ain't supposed to be here.
That's right. That's right. And that's what happened under Obama. All these different groups were given special status in the administration's eyes. You had, and actually what they are, and I hate to use the term fringe group, but yeah, in a way they are. They're not the majority of the people in this country. They're not the majority of the workers, the taxpayers, the wage earners, the people who obey the law. These are the people that are on the fringe. These are the people that... I'm sorry, I have to put the LBGD whatever crowd in there, too.
Of course you do.
Because all of a sudden, they were all raised to a high status under the Obama administration, and they were given special consideration, special rights, and we
not
basically
equal
not equal rights, special rights. Yes. And yet now they're afraid that they're going to lose all that, and they should, because you should be equal, just like the rest of us, folks.
That's why I never believed in the phrase hate crime.
Oh, I don't either. I don't either. You kill somebody because you love them? Give me a break.
Right. Artificially elevates something. And of course, you know, it's silly. But, you know, when you talk about these quote-unquote fringe groups, or you talk about special interest groups, things like that, you know, here's the thing. It's strange bedfellows scenario. Because on their own, none of these fringe groups, and I'm going all the way up to the NAACP and Southern Poverty Law Center and everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about, you know, fringe groups, so to speak, that on their own aren't powerful enough to do anything.
That's right.
If they were out there all by themselves, left, right, or center, and, you know, marching and demonstrating and carrying signs and wearing silly hats and this, that, and the other thing, you know, and foam rubber costumes, etc. If they were out there on their own, you'd drive by and go, oh, look at that, a protest, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, five people, yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, let's not even get into the numbers of protesters anywhere because, you know, I'm sorry, they talk about how the president faked the numbers on the attendance at his inauguration, but I'm sorry, when you get photos from a helicopter of that many people, oh, wait, you're saying that it was underattended? You know, you got to be kidding me. People were walking, you know, parking in, people were parking in Capitol Heights.
Yeah. Well, the thing also with that, all the pictures that they released, they were releasing them somewhere around 9:30 in the morning. They took the pictures that were taken at 9:30 in the morning instead of the pictures taken at 11:30 or 11 o'clock when people were still coming onto the mall.
Yep. And, well, when it comes right to all of that, you know, I don't even care about the attendance figures for the inauguration.
No.
You know, when I look at it, I'm really more
worried. Because the rest of us are at work.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that was the old joke about, you know, a certain kind of family on the first floor, a certain kind of family on the second floor, a certain kind of family on the third floor. Mm-hmm. You know, which family survived, and the one was the ordinary American family because the kids were in school and the parents had jobs.
Had jobs, so, exactly.
You know, so.
I want to get back to these special group things. Also, you have to include in those special groups Hollywood. Okay? People in Hollywood, all the actors and actresses that all of a sudden were given the mantle of experts on everything that went on in the world. And all of these people now, Donald Trump has just said, excuse me, you're not any better than any other American in this country. And they were upset about it. Mm-hmm. They're very upset. They're saying that Donald Trump is a Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Fascist.
Because they've fascist. No. One girl, people have even saying he's worse than Hitler. Some people have actually said.
I heard one saying everything he's doing is straight out of Hitler's playbook.
Really? I've read Hitler's playbook. I've watched a lot of documentaries about Hitler's playbook. Believe me, what he's doing is playbook.
Got to remember all those historical documents, all those movie tone news, all those things. You know, got to remember those are alternative facts.
What do you mean alternative facts? What are you talking
about? Well, that's what we're hearing. You know, all
that's
that stuff,
baloney.
All the quote-unquote propaganda about Hitler.
There are two specials that, unfortunately, the History Channel, now that it's more involved in making up these stupid programs instead of really dealing with history, but there were these two, The Rise of the Third Reich and then The Fall of the Third Reich. Each of them is 2 hours apiece. You want to see exactly what happened in Germany before Hitler came in, when he came in, and what he did. Watch those two, folks.
Yeah, the first one starts in, 1933?
Yep.
And goes all the way to 19...
And then it goes to the end of the war.
And then it goes to the end of the war.
Yeah, the second one. But it's amazing. The effect that he had on society, that he had on the religion in society, and there's a few things there that people will be really surprised about when it comes to religion and the Third Reich.
Well, they were all occultists and stuff in the
exactly.
You know, and people don't lock. You know, people don't look at that. There's a there's an entire encampment or building or spa or retreat or something up in the Alps, or maybe it's up in Bavaria somewhere. Where it was, you know, the thing was laid out, and it had the swastika in the middle, and it had these flaming torches around
That's
it,
right.
and it had these effigies and icons, and
That's right.
you know, and all the upper echelon of the SS, and you know, and Himmler, and all these people, and you know, but not so much Goering; he was too busy being eating, and
I was just going to say he was too busy
eating and fooling
his face.
Around with the little Frauleins.
I mean, he was something.
At least
else.
I hope they were Frauleins. Anyway, the. You know,
yeah, I think they were.
I mean, look at them. You know.
No, but the thing is, you take a look at these programs, these two programs, and a lot of this stuff was taken from people's home movies, number one. Number two, people who live there, and a lot of the stuff that occurred when they left, a lot of the Jews that left, a lot of people, regular Germans.
Yeah, not only Jews, Catholics.
Catholics? Oh, well, Catholics. I mean, you know, what they don't understand is that I have a nephew that says, well, you know, Hitler was Catholic. No.
No, he wasn't.
No.
Well, let's put it this way.
Supposed to be college
educated. Hitler was everybody's Catholic as the current pope.
There you go. But the thing is, it's like, no. Catholic priests, nuns were sent to camps.
Mm-hmm.
They were shot. They were put in prison. Yep. Believe me. I mean,
tortured,
you know, he was equal.
Tested
he was
on by, what's his name?
He was equal opportunity as far as that was concerned. Hideous. But.
Gypsies.
The gypsies, yes. The people who were deformed in some manner, they were automatically.
Yeah,
just
well, they
killed.
All got sent to Mengele.
They were just. Well, some of them were, and some of them were just deemed, you know, it was time for them to go, and they gave them a shot. You know.
Yeah, they gave him a pill. Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people. And making
170 grains back ahead. You made out of that.
No. Making a comparison to Hitler it just points out just how ignorant these people are of history.
Right.
And again, if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah.
You know, Obama was very close to acting like Hitler, more than Trump will ever
more
be.
More than Trump. Right. Mm-hmm. But there is an argumentum, and I touched on it briefly before, called Godwin's Law.
That's right.
And that's when your argument can't support itself, invoke the name of Hitler.
Yep.
And, you know, and whether it's Hitler, whether it's Pol Pot, whether it's Mussolini, whether it's Mao, whether it's Stalin, whether it's, you know, any of these other, you know, people, I mean, you know, all these people, which all qualify, you know, by the way, under... Godwin's Law, but Hitler is, of course, the biggie.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that, you know, they say, oh, fascist, oh, Hitler, oh, you know, and you look at it and you say, I love doing this, all right? I love doing this. I say, please cite me an example.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go on about Hitler and fascist and playbook and you know, the way the game's played and all this stuff. And I say, well, wait. Cite me an example. This came up, you know, talking about special interest groups, the LGBTQI, JKLMNO community.
Yeah.
You know, because I think the last time I checked, there are now 79 recognized genders.
Well,
we're in a special interest group. You know, you can get started if you want to. But here's the thing: I see these people interviewed, and I've spoken to some. Not in an interview format, just spoken to them. And I said, well, tell me how.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the fascism and you know, what did I say? You know, anti-feminist, anti, you know, rule of law, anti... wait a minute, you're talking about the same guy that on, you know, somewhere between November 8th and January 20th had been seen on several stages holding up the rainbow flag? You mean the same guy that stood there more than once and said, I intend to protect the rights of every American. I intend to protect the people within the LGBTQ community. Because believe it or not, there's a lot of the divisiveness within that community. I do have a certain...
Well, yeah, sure. Yes, I have heard that. Yes.
But, you know, because who wants which initials included and who wants which ones disincluded. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact that he stood there holding the rainbow flag saying, I will defend your rights. I mm-hmm. intend to uphold your rights. What he's not for, as far as I can tell, in that thing. And they're always, I said, please, tell me an example.
Yeah, no, they don't have an example.
Heard is, the only thing I've heard is H2. And I've heard that over and over and over. All right. And my simple thing is this. I have a simple fix for H2.
What?
Take your bathroom doors. Take the man sign, the woman sign off. Because rather than print 9,900 different signs mm-hmm. and have to glue them all to the door and run out of room, you got to get a bigger door and all that other stuff. Right? You put a picture of a urinal on the one door. And on the other door, you put the picture of a urinal with that red, you know, do not enter, you know, kind of, you know. So if you want a urinal, that's the room to go in. If you don't want a urinal, that's the room to go in. You can go in either room. I don't care. I don't care. But if you say, I'm going into the room without a urinal, mm-hmm. and somebody starts screaming on the inside and they come in and get you, don't be terribly surprised if it hurts really bad and leaves a big mark.
True, true. Yeah,
you know,
I know.
This is how, this is, oh, you're talking Wild West. No, I'm not. I'm talking natural selection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care. I've been in bathrooms with people that, if it was left up to H2, would not be allowed in those bathrooms.
Right.
I don't care. Look, when I go in there, I'm not, all I want to do is pee. I mean, you know, it's like, that's all I want to do.
Exactly.
Just leave me alone. You know, yeah. And there's been times in the past when I needed the other, you know, orifice, you know, appliance, and you know something? If I'm in there and I got to get in there that badly, I don't care who's in the next booth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as I got a book of matches, you know, I don't care who's in the next booth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing, H2. That's the only thing they come up with. Other than that, oh, he's going to take our right. You know, these people, all of them, I'm not just now being specific about the LGBT. At Ux et al. Community. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about everything. They all mm-hmm. believe that they're going to be lined up in front of a ditch, shot, and covered over with dirt.
Exactly. That's how they're making it sound. Yes.
You know, and then they bring up all these muzzies and say, oh, you know, but and they don't realize that those are the ones that throw them off buildings.
Yeah, those are the ones that are going to line them up in front of a ditch and shoot them.
Yeah.
They don't get it. And I don't understand why they don't get it.
It's not just them. Then you get into the whole thing. I mean, the NAACP and the SPLC, you know, they go on and on about how he's going to decimate the civil rights that we fought so hard for.
You didn't fight so hard for them. Hey, Dems, guess what? It was the Republicans that did that, not you. You guys were fighting against it.
Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Jr., God rest his soul, was a Republican.
Yes, and so was Frederick Douglass.
And so was Malcolm X.
Okay,
at the end of his life, he was a Republican.
Okay. I did not know that.
Rosa Parks was a Republican.
Was she now?
Yes, indeed.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Harriet Tubman was a Republican. What's his name? George Washington Carver was a Republican. You know, we're still in Black History Month, folks. Read your damn Black History.
Exactly. So... the lefties are, doing the protests. And, of course, they are bringing in all these, quote-unquote, disaffected groups.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Hollywood is getting into the game. And the biggest Hollywood complaining meeting is going to be happening in 2 weeks, the Oscars. Of course, I will not watch them. I didn't watch the Golden Globes, and I didn't watch any of the... you guys are irrelevant, seriously. You know, just shut up and sing, to quote Lauren Ingram.
Exactly. I have watched, not the Oscars,
nor the Tonys,
nor the Emmys, nor any of that stuff. The only thing I will confess to, and it's a guilty pleasure, as an amateur fashionista, a big fan of What Not to Wear, I do look at some of the, on the Fox 411, the gowns and shoes and stuff, who is hot, who is not.
Right.
It's a guilty pleasure.
That's
it's a guilty
pleasure. No,
but
fine.
I don't watch the damn show, you know.
Because you know what's going to happen at the Oscars. And
going down the fact that I am the amateur fashionista that I am, did you see that singer's dress? at whatever those awards were last week.
Lily, the Grammys.
Lily something, her name was. I meant to write it down.
Make America Great Again Trump? Oh, yeah.
My God. And everybody's like,
I swear to God, I'm surprised she wasn't stoned.
Well, not only just stoned, but, oh, you know, she just murdered her career. Her sales of her records went through the ceiling.
I have to wonder, though, do you think that was a stunt by her?
Well, apparently not, because apparently she's been that way all along, and, you know, people have, you know, evidence, you know, to that direction. Okay. But here it is. Everybody's saying it's like the people who tried was it UC Davis or UC Berkeley?
UC Berkeley.
Where they put on that big protest and broke things and stuff that fellow Malinopoulos was going to speak, and they did, you know. You can't have the right of free speech because we have the right of free speech, which is, I'm sorry.
Amazing. That's such a fascist.
We want to protest, which is our First Amendment right, and that we are protesting because we don't want you to have your First Amendment right. And what they didn't stop to think about was he didn't get the chance to address 300 students, but he got a chance to address 3 million people the next day. Way to go.
They don't get it. That's what they just did. But exactly what they did is what fascism does. Exactly what Hitler and his brown shirts did when they took out all the communists.
They did it for years before the fall of Austria and Poland, too.
That's right. When they set the Reichstag on fire. Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course, they said, well, they don't know what happened. But, you know, the fact that they... arrested all the communists right after that.
Mm. Hell, Guy Fawkes.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes. So, you know, you take a look at these people and say, you just don't know history.
Nope.
You have not read. You have not, you know, taken a look at documentaries which deal with the facts. And you just don't watch one. You watch a whole bunch. Because they do it from different angles, and you get all the angles you can on the subject. As far as I'm concerned, I've watched at least 10 of them, maybe even more, on Hitler and World War II and Germany at that time. And it comes to one thing. Yeah, Hitler was a bad guy, and Hitler was nothing like Donald Trump.
Right, you know, I mean, I realize that history is written by the winner. But even such old movie tone things as Why We Fight series.
Yes.
You know, and all the things that came out post-war about, you know, the Red Menace. I'm sorry. I believe that in my heart of hearts that the gods are being very good to Joe McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
When you look at this stuff and you say, here, prime example. Man on the Street interviews, MOT, you know, interviews that, as they're known colloquially. When you watch them, you know, go to YouTube and just put Man on the Street interviews, and you know, all these people pop up, and it's just Waters and it's Dice and a few other people. You know, you see these things, and it's, you know, I think they were supposed to be, yes, poignant, but I think that when they do them, they intend them to be what's his name? This is another good one.
Ari Horowitz?
Yeah, Ari Horowitz. When I watch them, I'm not amused. I'm aghast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
When you can hold up a picture of a president and they don't know who the president is.
Oh, heck, he was holding up a picture of Joe Biden last year, and they didn't know who it was.
Didn't know who it was. They couldn't name the vice president. You know, and then you turn around and you hold up a picture of Bob Hope. Okay, young people might not know who Bob Hope is. I mean, I saw him in USO shows several times. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I know who Bob Hope is. You know, I also know who Julie London is. Trust me.
I'm sure you do.
I never used to watch Emergency to watch the boys go rescue some kid from a crane. I watched it for Dixie McCall. anyhow... You know, you ask them these questions, and then the one, you know, you turn around and you say, "Well, let's get these special interest groups, these fringe groups, this, that, and the other thing." And that Ari Horowitz interview where he went to you know, down in California somewhere, or Frisco or whatever, and he was asking people about, you know, voter ID laws, and all these people in this affluent community were saying, oh, I think they're racist, and this ain't
because they don't have... College students.
You know, it's racist because they don't have the skills, they don't have the technology, they don't have access to the web, they don't have access to anything. You know, five or six of them in a row. Then he goes up to Harlem.
Harlem, I know.
He's standing on the corner of 125th Street and asking all these African-Americans going by, and they're all like, and one brother was like, yeah, I got an ID. You want to see it? You know, no, I don't want to see it.
The thing is, though, is that almost every one of them had earbuds in, and they were listening to something on their iPhones or, you know.
Their iPhones, their iPads, their whatever.
iPads.
What do you say to someone who... doesn't believe you have the technology nor the skills to use it, and they turn to one woman, turned around and said, "Well, that's racist."
It is. I said, "People." I mean, it's like these people are in a bubble. They really are. They're in an intellectual bubble.
They're in an intellectual vacuum bubble. Vacuum. Now, nature, of course, a vacuum. So I don't know how that
vacuum works.
Vacuum.
That's true.
You know, I look at this and I'm like, the American people have had enough of being called names. Just by virtue of the fact that they are alive and breathing.
Yep.
You know, white privilege. Check your privilege, they say.
Oh, my God.
Well, I've checked my privilege. It's damn near non-existent. It's like, I don't have... go check your privilege. Okay, I checked. Well, you know what? I'm a little low. I better go get some more. You know.
I don't know.
You know, because, your straight privilege or your white privilege or your male privilege or your... hazel changing eyes privilege, or your nice teeth privilege, or whatever it is. You know, it's like everything's a privilege, and everything's an ism or an ist or a phobe.
And this is how these people live their lives.
I'll tell you something.
All these little groups. This is how they live their lives. It's what their life is focused on.
People talk about homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about Islamophobia. People talk xenophobia. And I always get that image of Mandy Patinkin in The Princess Bride. You keep using their word. That word. I do not believe it means what you think it means.
Yes.
You know, they all these isms, ists, and phobes. And I got news for you. I'm you know, in my 60s, and I'm in a wheelchair. And you know, saying, but I ain't afraid of nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't afraid of nobody. I'm going to coin... I shouldn't say that. I was kind of afraid of the dentist because I hadn't been for a couple of years and it was going to hurt. Anyway. But I ain't afraid of nobody. I'll tell you, though, I am going to coin a new one and I'll use it on myself. Liberophobia. Or progressophobia. Well, I shouldn't say that because I use progresso products. You know, liberophobia. Because these people are starting to scare me. When they talk about how... You know, how misogynist Donald J. Trump is, because he had some locker room talk 20 years ago and ignore the actual criminal sexual deviance of a former president.
I know.
You know, and I guess it would be criminal. Sexual dalliances of another Democrat president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his attorney general and, you know, things like that. That was a different time. You know, okay, but now we're in this time. Actually, the time you're talking about with Donald J. Trump took place back before the time when the actual criminal sexual contact issues were coming up with a different sitting president.
That's true.
So don't use that as an example. Misogynist doesn't cut it. Homophobe doesn't cut it.
Nope.
Islamophobe? No. And we're going to get into that in C-Block.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You know, as a matter of fact, you know something?
Let's go to C-Block.
I think we're going to go to C-Block. What do you think? You want to go to C-Block?
I think we should.
Okay, your turn to take us out.
No.
Okay, fine.
I'm not going to do that. No, folks, we will be back after this.
Don't touch that dial.
And don't touch it. Don't touch it. Well, you can, but make sure your hands are clean when you do that. All right.
Yeah, because you don't know where it's been. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
And yes, we are back, folks. Thank you. Thank you for continuing to listen. And we're now going to be going into our... Huh?
And if you did touch the dial, wash your hands. Or use some hand sanitizer.
Wash your hands. Purell works wonders.
Hold them flu season, baby.
Yep.
Now we're C block. Because of the fact that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, a court whose rulings are overturned 80% of the time,
yep,
has actually asked for an unblock. I know the word. Just forgive me.
Sua sponde,
which means of their own.
Okay.
You know, not by any outside influence of an attorney general or sheriff or anything. Sua sponde, they asked for an en bloc ruling on their ruling on the so-called Muslim ban.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where that is tantamount to an apology to the American people.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I know.
Said, oh, sorry, we stepped on it, didn't we?
We didn't do this right.
You know, first of all, by the time it goes to the Supreme Court, even with 4-4, the Supreme Court's going to say, no, send it back to the lower court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't even want to be bothered. Second of all, the rule, the executive order is being rewritten, and they have, first of all, the first executive order was perfectly clear, perfectly lawful, perfectly constitutional. And it was also perfectly not a Muslim ban. The second one's going to take away all doubt that A, it's legal, B, it's constitutional, and C, it is not a Muslim ban.
Mm-hmm.
Because 109 people were inconvenienced. In the meantime, what they don't tell you about the 109 people that were inconvenienced that were Muslims was the dozen or so people who were inconvenienced and were Christians.
Exactly.
They came from one of the banned nations. Didn't matter if they were Christian, didn't matter if they were Jew, didn't matter if they were Muslim, didn't matter if they were black, didn't matter if they were white, didn't matter if they were Latino.
It was the nation, yeah.
It came from, you know, one of the seven nations. They weren't allowed in without a further vet.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the other, what is it, 46 Muslim nations that weren't on the ban list?
Yeah.
So if you're coming in from Indonesia and you're a Muslim, since it's not banned, you just come right through the airport or the seaport or the jet port or whatever and go about your day.
Mm-hmm. But you see, this is their way of, like, you know, trying to just focus on one little aspect of a problem and making it into something really big and just blowing it all out of proportion.
Yep, it's when a straw man with a red herring.
Yeah, well, when the president was well within his rights as president of the United States and according to the Constitution, to do something like this.
Yes. And Title 8 U.S. Code gave him the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But I honestly think that, that's another thing that's leaving. The refugees, they're leaving America. They're going up to Canada. I say that's fine, too. I'll be honest with you.
I saw a good one.
Have you seen
Go ahead. What?
Have you seen the fact that in Middle America, there have been, like, a lot of Jewish cemeteries that have been desecrated?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Desecrated.
Middle America. Something's going on.
Oh, it's kids.
No. It was too widespread, Lou. Too widespread from, you know, right in the, I mean, St. Louis all the way up and down. South, north. Seriously.
Here's another thing I've heard.
What?
And this is great. This is great. There was actually some Somali interviewed recently, and I please don't hold me to it. But it was one of the more progressive news services. So it got completely underreported because they said, no, we can't have this. There was some Somali guy interviewed, and he said that he and his family were going back to Somalia because it was safer than where they were.
That's interesting. That is very interesting. Why? How can it be safer?
I don't know. But we had one here. We had one here, if you recall, back when we had our Black Lives Matter protest. And I'll get to that in a second. The woman said that was interviewed said she didn't feel safe in Portland, Maine. You know, I mean, Portland, Maine. I'm not talking Chicago. You know, which I'm sorry. If you really want to feel safe, you know, you really want to have tight gun control laws and stuff like that, go to Chicago. Live on the south side.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah,
you know,
be my guest.
They're saying they don't feel safe in Portland, Maine. Well, how would you feel in Mogadishu?
I don't know. understand.
Oh, well, I feel much less safe there. Then shut up and sit down.
Yeah, exactly. Shut up, sit down, and be grateful that you're here. And you know what? Become
get a
an
job.
American, and don't try and tell us how to worship or the fact that you need special... I'm sorry. You know what? I really... The problem is that Muslims have come to this country, and they just want to change it. You know that as well as I do.
Oh,
that they don't like American society, they don't like our history, they don't like our culture, and they want to Muslimize it, you know? I don't know if that's not a word.
We're only talking 16 years ago and change. Mm-hmm. When the travesty of humanity that was 9/11 took
yes.
place. And in all the releases, Al-Qaeda and Bin Laden and all this other stuff said that the reason they chose that target was it represented everything that they hated.
Right.
You know, it represented free enterprise, it represented trade, it represented corporations, it represented people going to work every day, it represented mm-hmm. all of these things that were American culture and American society, and by the way, not everybody that was killed was American.
That's right.
You know, it represented all these evils, you know, that the great Satan America represented.
Mm-hmm.
So we start there and work our way fast forward a little bit. And how do you get to sit there and say, well, that's not what they think?
I know.
You know, the media jumped through a barrel, not a hoop, a barrel, the other day when the president came on and said, "In last night in Sweden."
Yeah.
And since the wires didn't carry everything,
they never do.
And you know, it's like, Chelsea Clinton tweeted. He said something last night in Sweden. Did he also find, what's that other massacre that didn't actually take place, but they busted the guys before it happened and everybody
Bowling
said...
Bowling Green, I think.
Bowling Green.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and I bet you he found the Bowling Green massacre guys too. Well, you know what? People don't stop and think about the fact that massacre was indeed interrupted. Mm-hmm. But because the wires didn't carry it, yes, last night in Sweden, there were problems.
Yeah. Yes.
That
rioting.
Night in Sweden, there were problems. And the next night in Sweden, there were problems.
And, you know, Sweden is known now as the rape capital of Europe. You do realize
mm-hmm.
that. You know,
They call Malmo Sweden's Chicago.
Oh, my God.
And this is happening everywhere.
Europe is not doing anything. They're not doing anything. And Merkel has actually said she wants to bring in more of these refugees, and they're not refugees because most of them are male. And if they really were refugees, most of them would be children and women, and the men would stay at home and fight for their country.
Right.
But that's not what's happening.
Right.
The women are being left there. The men are coming here. And there isn't. It's
battle
an invasion
age,
force.
Physically fit.
Yes. Yes. And they're not really poor because they all have smartphones.
Not only that, well, they give them those. Not only that, but it's...
I don't care.
They're there. It's kind of, I always feel when they say, you know, when they show, you know, out in Michigan and out in, Idaho Falls.
Yeah.
And in areas here in Maine, and which is not as bad, but I mean areas in some of the other parts of the country, and I see this. And they show these guys that are supposed to be teenagers, and they're letting mm-hmm. them into the high schools,
mm-hmm.
and they're in their 30s.
I know. And they're just taking them at their word. Yeah.
And, you know, I look at it and I say, you know, you talk about, and you nailed it. I mean, hard, one drive with the women and children, the refugees, the quote unquote poor widows and orphans, which is what we were told was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the lines, whether it's outside of Calais or whether you see them down here in South Portland or whether you mm-hmm. see them in Dearborn or whether you see these people and you say, where are all the women and orphans?
That's right. That's right.
You know, I mean, I don't see any. Where are they?
Germany? I mean, come on. I mean, you've seen that famous photograph of guards walking in front of this crowd that goes for miles, and they're all men. I mean, you may see a woman here and there, but they're all men. 99.9% of them are men.
I mean, I dated, you know, came from an Italian neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I dated a lot of Italian girls, a few Sicilian girls.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, their mustaches were better than mine in those days. But they didn't have beards and stuff.
I know.
I mean, some of them now that we're our age, they might, but you know, but they go to electrolysis or something. But in the meantime, you know, these guys, you know, and you said they should be home fighting, and that picture, that Life or Time or whatever it was, picture of the Nazis coming down the Champs-Élysées, and that old man in the gabardine suit with a tear jerking down his eyes and his lip quivering. Maybe it's because I'm an American. That wouldn't be me.
No, it wouldn't be a lot of Americans. No.
I wouldn't care if it was a rock, a bottle, a gun, a knife, a baseball bat. But hey, you know, I wouldn't care if I died trying. The Valkyrie would lift me to Valhalla.
I know.
But they're not trying.
No. They don't want to try because that's not their intention.
Their intention is to come here.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, what did Obama call it?
Fundamentally transform. Yeah.
You know, when you look at a church in Middle America that has a spray painted "Worship Allah or Die."
Yep. And
You know, and then you get the Hollywood types come in, and here we go with Godwin's Law again. That some comedian broad saw construction markers on the pavement.
Sarah Silverman, I think that was.
I wasn't going to give her credit, but okay.
Third rate.
You know, you walk along the road if you live in a town with things like, I don't know, telephone poles. You know, and they're going to do something. They take spray paint and special can that sprays upside down, and they make these markers. And where there's a live wire under this, there's a pipeline under this, there's this, that, and the other. This is a sewer line, and they all have a symbol that all the engineers recognize. She saw these things and said, "Oh, they're swastikas. We live in a nation where swastikas are allowed to be."
What a stupid idiot! Do you know what they use here? Do you know what they use here for sewer lines? A fish. To note sewer lines downtown, and where there's a sewer thing or where something has to be cleaned up or whatever, they put they use spray paint and they draw a fish. Do you know some people actually got upset because they thought that was a Christian symbol?
I understand how the fish became a Christian symbol, but I got
no. But I'm saying that's fine, but we had people that were upset. I mean, this was being used to signify the sewer. All right? And exactly. So some people just jump to the wrong conclusions, you know,
and
without
homework. They do it. And then they conflate everything together. And, you know, oh, you know, you're Islamophobe. No, I'm not. I'm not afraid of them. Well, you're a xenophobe. I don't know what a xeno is, but sorry. I'm not afraid of them either. You know?
The thing is, with Islam now that is going throughout the world, you have people, Marianne Le Pen, Le Pen, who actually is really starting to stand up. And I swear to God, she's one of the few French people that actually has a set of balls. She went to Lebanon, was supposed to meet with the Grand, Mufti?
Grand Vizier.
Mufti, I think it's, I don't know. And they said, well, you have to put this veil, you have to put this scarf on. And she said, no, thank you. No,
thank you.
Not going to happen.
I'm not, you know, I'm not Muslim. I'm not Lebanese. I'm, you know, French.
Was it Sweden, I believe, or was it Norway? I can't remember which one. In which that, they're all government officials, and it's like a complete women's feminist government officials, I mean all the big ones, they went to, was it Iran, I believe, and they were all standing there, all scarfs around their heads and everything. It's like, do you realize that, does anybody remember feminists? I have to do you remember in the 60s where women were burning their bras because they were protesting against the patriarchal society and the hold that men had over women? Remember that? But now they're subjugating themselves to a patriarchal society where men have power over women.
I love it. I love it. You can't make this stuff up because first and foremost, you know, first and foremost, I know women from the 60s. I'm from the 60s. You know, I know these people. And each and every last one of them regrets the days when they walked around for a couple of years without a bra. You know, now they buy them with, like, wires in them and stuff because it just hurts too bad to not. But, I mean, and listen, again? You want to complain about patriarchal society because I've been through this and many people know I'm a survivor anyway. They complain that the mammogram was invented by a man. And...
But we say that having jokingly. Had to,
no, I'm not saying it jokingly, but I got news for you. The contraption that they used to adapt the mammogram for men was invented by a woman.
Oh,
and
sorry.
It's not only is it the truth, but it's payback, boy. Let me tell you something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, when you talk about who remembers and who doesn't, there's one out there right now. They call her Based Mom because of her involvement in Gamergate a couple of years ago. Christina Hoff Summers. Mm-hmm. She's wonderful. She teaches, I don't remember, it's cultural anthropology or something. And she teaches it, you know, in the Northeast now, but she started out at, I don't know, it was at Berkeley or Davis or something like that, UCLA. Mm-hmm. And... You know, she was there.
Right.
She says, I am a feminist. I'm not a third wave radical feminist, but I'm a feminist. So she agrees. When you see these women saying, oh, patriarchal society, and oh, resist, and this, and the other, and then they go over there and they put on a veil. Or they, you know what, they had a day, what was it, wear a hijab day or something?
Yes. Yes.
And, of course, all the Hollywood types, you know, putting on hijabs and stuff. And it's like, why did you do that? Well, I'm a feminist, and I, you're a feminist, you put that on.
I know. I know.
That's the stupidest thing.
They don't get it. They have no clue.
It's like an anti-gunner carrying a rifle in public every day for a day because I'm against guns.
That's right. I know.
You know, I can't make any other analogies. My head is so stretched over that.
I know.
And
I mean, every time you open your mouth, every time you start thinking about it, you go, do they... You know, you think of something else, that their actions today are completely against what those who, quote-unquote, were in the good fight in the 60s, they're completely negating anything that these women did in the 60s. But the problem is that many of those women who were in the 60s are sucking up to these people now. Gloria Steinem,
there was
you know. I mean, a whole
there
bunch
was a,
of
there
them.
Was a,
well, that's where.
There was an article
from... Jobs.
There was an article from the mainstream media... feed it was put out, and I don't remember who recopied it, and I believe, don't hold me to it, I believe it came from the Atlantic, but it might not have originally, which of course is the seat of the Republican Party, right? That the third wave feminist movement supporting the influx of Muslims has set women's rights back 50 years.
Of course, yes. Most definitely. Yeah, I.
They don't see it.
I know they don't. They think that it's a religious issue. They do. They think that all of this about Islam is an issue, pure and simple, about a religion. Whereas they don't realize it, that what it really is a 7th century culture with its own set of rules for every aspect of your life. And they cannot wrap their heads around that.
Yep. Womb to tomb. You know, cradle to grave. You know, and it's, and I'll tell you something. Yes, it's, you know, as I said, womb to tomb, but only if you're a boy.
Yeah.
Because if you're a girl, and then they turn around and they had some kid, two kids, they were 12 years old, I think 11 and 12 or 12 and 13, whatever it was, that would not go and execute. I don't remember if it was their relatives. I don't remember if they were each other's relatives. I don't remember if they were just people on the thing that were apostate. And because they were in ISIS training, you know, they're supposed to, you know, take turns and execute these people. And these two boys just couldn't. They, you know, they're, I don't know, maybe they had read a book that said something about boys and girls, nice people. And they cut their hands off.
Yeah, they did. They did.
The video, believe it or not, the video is out there. So if you think I'm full of it, just go... 12-year-old hands cut off, and you will find the video.
I saw still pictures. I can't watch the video.
Well, I don't have any. See, now my problem is, and I get in a lot of, I've had some of my posts pulled from various and sundry social media networks. And I've actually gotten in, I've actually been in Facebook jail because of the fact that I post these things and I get reported, you know, because I believe, you know.
Because people don't want to hear the truth.
No, it's not just that. We have a certain, quote unquote, sensibility in America. You know, we still, you know, frown on, you know, big signs. There was a sign out in some city that showed a girl, like, you know, her arms crossed over her bareness and people freaked and stuff. Whereas in Europe, you know, ads with naked people in them are commonplace. We don't have, I mean, we have feminine hygiene commercials and we have contraceptive commercials and stuff like that. And people in Middle America, flyover territory, are not happy about this. But ever since the Second War, because I don't remember how it was handled in the First War, but ever since the Second War, we do not show combat wounded. We do not show combat dead. We don't show enemy dead.
I thought it was from Vietnam.
Some of it goes back to the Second War, but if Vietnam for sure, definitely for sure, out of Vietnam, when they got that picture of that famous picture of the girl running away from the napalm, she was naked and she was running, you know, and the guy that was executed by that general, that famous shot, you know, but they didn't show the impact. They didn't show the finality of it. They just showed the act taking place.
Right.
We have this sensibilities issue here. The rest of the world sees these videos. The rest of the world sees these photographs. We do not, because we're sensitive. You know, we're you know, shy about such things. Well, when I get these videos, I put them out. When I find them, I put them out. Why? Because the American people need to see this.
That's right. I agree.
There's a famous famous internet meme graphic of the World Trade Center, and it's when that fella jumped,
It shows him falling.
However many stories it was. All right. And the internet meme is, this is why I don't give a excrement about throwing water on some guy's face.
That's right.
And do I agree with torture? No, because as a trained soldier, I realize that it's counterproductive. You know, you put somebody through torture and all you're going to do is hurt them or, you know, not even kill them. And you're only going to get any information you get is useless.
Yeah.
So I, you know, if they're going to say anything you want to hear, I mean, go back to the witch trials. I mean, they admitted to being witches.
That's right. And they weren't.
To stop the torture, you know.
Right. And then they would drown.
The Inquisition, the same thing with the Inquisition. You know, they tortured people and, you know, and of course they recanted their whatever. And my patroness, my patron saint, Joan of Arc, you know, is a classic example. So when you go right back to it and you say, you know, it's a 7th century cult, I am in absolutely zero disagreement with that. I would not give a mosque a 501c3 exemption.
No.
Because it's not religion. It's a gathering of cultists. I mean, even Jim Jones ended up down in Guyana because it wasn't a religion. It was a cult.
That's right.
You know, Heaven's Gate ended up, they didn't end up anywhere except wherever because it was a cult.
Yeah.
You know, and now I guess the big issue is the polygamist cults.
Here we go.
But I mean, these are cults. And this is what Islam really is. And it will not stop until everybody on the planet is part of their cult.
That's right.
And you want to talk fascist, and you want to talk Hitler, and you want to talk, you know, Mussolini. Well, if Trump gets the trains to run on time. But, you know, you want to talk about, you know, these comparisons, this Godwin's law of application. You go ahead and do that, because I'm going to apply Occam's razor. I am going to see to it that the truth is what we find. And the truth is, these people got to go.
Yeah.
That's the simple be-all, end-all truth. And I come from a very tolerant religious background. And, you know, but when it doesn't make sense, folks, it doesn't make sense. And you can't tell me that any ugly god you pray to can condone this, and I want to see our embassy in Jerusalem.
Yes. Yes, yes. Yes. We'll see. We'll see.
I want that crescent taken off that temple, and I want that Mogan David put back.
I agree.
So rather than go to a D block about Israel, we'll save that for next time because yes. I've got some. I'm watching some stuff coming out of Bibi, and we'll get to it probably the next opportunity. And also, the shakeups at.
Go ahead.
Good.
No.
The shakeups at things like. Shakeups. Things
State
like
Department.
The Department of Education.
Yeah.
State Department.
Yeah.
Department of Environmental Protection.
Yeah.
You know, two right there. You know, Chrissy, I love you, girl, but, you know, you were stupid as the chairperson of the Department of Environmental Protection. Two cabinet seats, two people that should be working to put themselves out of a job.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
DOE.
I agree.
And
education. EP. Oh, how about it? Yeah. Yeah. DOE. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens. Because I do know, as far as Department of Education is concerned, a congressman has, I forget what state he's from, has already submitted a bill getting rid of the DOE. You know,
I agree. Mississippi or Alabama.
Yeah.
But
it has to start somewhere.
Well, when you turn around and the woman gets confirmed that she goes out to take a walk around town and walk into a school and they had to decide, okay, you know what, she gets Secret Service protection, you know, armed guards, you're talking about somebody that's going to shake some stuff up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, the fact that the guy who's in charge of environmental protection is big oil, big coal, you know, jobs, drill, mm-hmm. and they get up there. Gina Davis got up there some time ago about water pollution, and Sheryl Crow got up there about how every American should live on 4 pieces of toilet paper a day, and all this stuff. These Hollywood types that really, honestly believe they know what the hell they're talking about.
I know.
Are going to come.
Did you, by the way, just to bring up a topic about the EPA? You know that all that protest up in North Dakota against the pipeline up there. That they say is going to be going on Indian lands. Well, it's not going on in Indian land, the Dakota Pipeline. And actually, all the people that were there, they said, time for you guys to leave, get out. They left such a mess.
They always do.
Behind them. Yes, liberals do. They see, because what they have in their brain is that they've made their point. You know, and they feel good because they got out there and did this. But they had like 200 and some odd dump trucks that had to take out all the trash.
There's a term for that now.
What?
It's called virtue signaling.
Run that by me again.
It's called virtue signaling.
Okay.
And it applies to everybody, not just celebrities. It's virtue signaling. In other words, I'm virtuous. I was there. I protested.
Ah.
So, and then they go home and they write letters and they get on their Facebook or their Twitter or their whatever.
They pat themselves on the back.
And they, yes, indeed. And all their friends pat them on the back. It's called virtue signaling. It's a new term that I've heard.
And they think that they've actually done something. All right.
And in the meantime, here's the thing that gets me is, you know, look, I have no problem whatsoever. I'm much less of a problem with the Native American than I do with Muslim. Their spirituality, you know, goes back, you know, 10,000 years or however long.
That's fine.
You know, and it's just another thing, too. You know, I hate the word Native American. I've been around Indian guys in the past, both in the service and out on the street. And I called them Indian, and they had no problem with it. Native American means that they sprouted directly from the soil.
Yeah, I know.
No, they were immigrants too. Don't kid yourself.
I know.
You know, I mean, they came across the Bering Strait. You know, it's up.
I
so, you came here as immigrants and you pushed the natives off. They weren't natives. They were here first. They weren't natives.
I know that bugs me. That one. Oh yeah, you pushed them out of the way. You evil Europeans. It's like, oh God, please.
Yeah, evil Europeans. The Jamestown colony got attacked. Look, and I say, hey, you know, the Crusades. Well, you know what? That's another specious set of alternative facts.
Exactly.
The massacre. Yes. There were occasions where they were given, you know, blankets with smallpox in them, and that's a horrible, horrible tragedy. But the Walk of Tears, was a horrible tragedy.
Yes.
You know, but then again, you know, so was the March to Bataan.
Yes.
You know, it, which, by the way, you know, settled freedom issues for people all over the globe, not just the Native Americans and not just the French. I mean, you know, I mean, everybody. You know, what? But the thing that kills it is when you look at the map, because not only doesn't it cross Indian land, and not only doesn't it cross their sacred spiritual spot, but it also, the New Dakota Pipeline also runs parallel to two other pipelines that are already there that nobody protested.
I know.
And while they were protesting about the Dakota Pipeline, how many tank cars of oil, how many ships of oil, how many trucks of oil crashed, burned, dumped all over the country because pipelines aren't safe?
I know.
You know, virtue signaling, virtue signaling.
I know.
You talk about how, you know, they showed this, there's another meme, and it shows a fracking site. Right, and there's this drill platform, and there's some buildings, and there's some trucks, and this, that, and the other thing. It's a fracking site, right? And it's this little 10 or 12 acres of, you know, building and derricks, things like that. In the meantime, they show the pit, and I believe it's North Dakota, where the lithium for the batteries and their electric cars are made, and it's this huge gaping scar on the face of the planet that can be seen from space.
Oh, my God, I didn't realize that.
So, virtue signal all you want. I don't find you virtuous.
That's right.
I find you stunad.
Yep. I agree.
Because it's not so much that the fact, Mark Twain said, it isn't what we don't know that's dangerous, it's what we do know that ain't so.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. I think we're going to have to start wrapping this up.
I think so too.
We've been at it. I think it's been a long, it's been a good run.
Hour 50 and 27, 28, 29.
Okay.
Which is under 2 hours, which is pretty good.
Yes, which is pretty good for us, and I agree. But, you know, I think I like the new format, and I think we should keep to it.
I was just going to ask you. Yes, I was just going to ask you.
I think it's better. Yes.
Yeah, it kept me from rambling.
I appreciate that.
Which is very difficult.
Yes.
You know, I do have one failure I must admit to right now.
What is it?
Is the fact, I know I promised, not only to you, but some of our other listeners.
What?
I did not look up a joke, and I don't have one handy.
You bad boy.
Well, you know what? Because you know where I was getting them? I was getting them from the end of The Vicar of Dibley. I love that
show. That is a weird show. I like it also. I do like it. Vicar of Dibley.
Yes, I do.
One of my favorite ones was... British comedy in the 80s. It was To the Manor Born.
Yes.
That was one of the best ones.
You can only get a show here and a show there of it, you know, but or maybe there's like a half a season of it or something on Netflix or a compilation. But
I can't even find it.
Yes, Minister. Yes, Minister was hysterical.
Yes, yeah.
And then yes, First Minister was hysterical.
Oh, I didn't know.
The Vicar of Dibley was hysterical. And one that we got hooked on BBC stuff was called Good Life, which has another title. It's called Good Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with Richard. Whatever his name is. If you watched Rosemary in Time,
yes.
She was in it as well.
Yes.
I loved Rosemary in Time, too. That was funny. She played Barbara, and I don't remember her name off the top of my head either. Mm-hmm. But she was very young and perky and, you know, kind of stuff like that. I got hooked on a lot of this stuff, and I've watched some of it over and over. Death in Paradise. Hysterical. So, anyhow, on that
note.
All right,
next time we'll do a joke.
A hat tip to the BBC, and thank you for the jokes I've used in the past. I will get another one for you ASAP.
Folks.
I like our format, and I like the idea that now with life behind us for another moment, maybe we're going to get to another one fairly soon. So
hopefully.
So get out your Purell, wipe off the dial,
that's true.
And we'll be. What do you think, Amory?
I think. Therefore, I am. No. it's time to just wrap this up, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully, we will be able to do these more often. And You know, unfortunately, life does get involved sometimes.
Yes.
But we'll be here next
time. What happens
time.
When you're making other plans.
Making and, plans, yes.
You know, and I mean, what's that old quote? Every plan man makes, God laughs.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, anyhow, so listen, like us, share us, subscribe to us. You know, politicalqrm.com, Blueberry carries us, iTunes still carries us. Mm-hmm. Wherever else you can find us. And if you can't find us, let me know. I'm available in the feeds on the columns on the side. Let me know, and I will see to it that you get a link that you can follow. And you know something? Comment as you see fit. I borrowed that from The Monkey's Dead. The show's over. So, yeah. Push us around and answer us. If you think I'm a jerk, I don't mind you saying so, because in a lot of regards, you're actually right. So, fine. And on that note, in nomine, and Anne-Marie, and for myself, Lou, here in New England, have a wonderful day, and may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.